Okay, want to continue. Ninth commandment. Probably finish it today. Been looking at things that are prohibited in the command, things that are required. One of the remedies for false witness bearing, which would be required by the commandment, is love in the heart is a remedy against false witness bearing. We began last week looking at the characteristics of love as given in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and as you read those characteristics, it becomes obvious that such love would remedy the desire to bear false witness, remedy the participation in false witness bearing. We left off with love beareth all things. And that word beareth there means covers or conceals. It is the disposition of love to conceal the faults of others, not to broadcast the faults of others. To broadcast the faults of others, of course, would take the opposite of love. If it is the disposition of love to conceal, then it's the disposition of hate to reveal. So love in the heart is a restraint against false witness bearing. The next thing we read is love believeth all things. That is, it's prone to put the best interpretation upon the conduct of those loved. There are people, it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to put the worst interpretation upon your acts. Why do they do that? It's because they lack love. To be honest, it's because they hate you. Love, the disposition of love, is to put the best interpretation upon the acts of others. Those who are prone to a distrustful and suspicious spirit concerning others will always put the worst interpretation and will always be prone to bearing false witness, prone to take desire in receiving ill report of others. But again, love in the heart cures that spirit and is a restraint against false witness bearing. Next thing we read is love hopeth all things. That is, love desires good for others. False witness bearing does not desire good for others. False witness bearing desires to harm others. But love hopeth all things. That is, it desires what is best for others. It wants what is best for others. And when appearances are not right concerning the conduct of others, the inclination of love is to hope that all matters will be explained, that all matters will be made clear, so that one's conduct will prove to be pure. So that very disposition is a restraint against false witness bearing. Then the last thing concerning love is that it endureth all things. That is, it's able, it's willing to undergo, to go through, to experience, to encounter, to withstand. So once again, it is a restraint to false witness bearing. So from all of that, we see that love of God in the heart will remedy the desire of talebearing, will remedy the desire and the act of whispering and slander. It will remedy the desire of revealing the sins and faults for the purpose of destroying another individual or for bringing down another individual. Also, in order to not bear false witness, we must maintain a proper attitude toward others. Anytime we participate in false witness bearing, whether we are the receiver, whatever, doesn't matter, it shows that we do not have a proper attitude toward other individuals. And this, of course, is very, very important. Jesus, in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, set forth a principle of action, a mode of life with regard to the treatment of other individuals. And it's a very, very simple statement, very simple principle. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, very familiar verse of Scripture, Matthew 7, verse 12. Religious world refers to this as the golden rule. Jesus said, therefore, which shows there's a connection, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would, that is, that ye would desire, that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus simply says here, in all things, notice, all things whatsoever. Is there anything that doesn't cover? All things whatsoever. So Jesus is saying, in all things regarding other individuals, that's what he's talking about here, all things regarding other individuals, put yourself in another person's place and then act toward them as you would desire that they act toward you under the same circumstances. He is saying, treat others as you would want to be treated. He does not say anywhere, treat others as they treat you. He says, treat others as you would want them to treat you. So if somebody mistreats you, how are you to treat them? As you would want them to treat you. Not as they treat you, but as you would want them to treat you under the same circumstances. So in these words, Matthew 7, verse 12, Jesus sets forth a very simple principle. I mean, the principle is very simple, very direct, very clear. Yet, it is very, very, very difficult to put into practice. The reason that that is so is because of our depraved nature. The reason it is so difficult to put into practice is because of the natural inclinations of man. The natural inclination of man is not to treat others as you would want them to treat you. The natural inclination of man is to react concerning how you have been treated. And this is where much false witness bearing comes into play. You are mistreated, or you perceive that you have been mistreated. And many times that's the case. It's a perception and not an actual fact. And so you get on the phone or the internet, social media, and you tell others your side of the story, which may not be accurate. And it may be accurate in your mind, but that doesn't make it accurate. That's false witness bearing. It is a reaction to how someone treated you or how you perceived someone treated you. But this principle that Jesus sets forth in Matthew 7, verse 12, if put into practice, would prevent much false witness bearing. Is there anybody who wants to be lied about? Is there anybody who wants someone to bear false witness concerning them? No. So treat others as you would want to be treated. So Jesus sets forth with these words a precept and principle that if followed would be beneficial to all mankind. Can you imagine if everyone followed this principle? We can make it even smaller. Just, if just everyone in the church would follow this principle, could you imagine? We can't imagine it because it's never come close to happening. But it is a principle that would be beneficial to all mankind. It is a principle that would bring widespread joy and widespread blessing. And it is a principle as broad as one's life. All things whatsoever. All things whatsoever. That eliminates all the but ifs. All things whatsoever. No what ifs. All things whatsoever. So what Jesus says here is a call to do good. To bear false witness is not to do good. It's to do evil. But here is a call to do good in regard to others. Notice in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus says, love ye your enemies. That is not natural. That is not our natural inclination. But that is what we're to do. We're to love our enemies and do good. We're to do good to them. And lend to give, hoping for nothing again. That is not expecting anything in return. That also goes against natural inclinations. People are scorekeepers. I did this, you didn't do this. Not only are people scorekeepers, they're not very good at it either. They don't keep proper score. Their team always wins. They always win. They're always ahead. And your reward shall be great, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. That is, the Lord will give you reward. If you want your reward in this life, go for it. You're coming out in the short end. And ye shall be the children of the highest. That is, you manifest that you are the children of the highest, if you love your enemies and expect nothing in return. And he gives us the example of God, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. God is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You can prove that every Lord's Day. You look around, people are out doing whatever they do. Don't give one thought about God. And God was kind enough to give them the health to get out and misuse His day, abuse His day. God is kind to the unthankful. God is kind to the evil. He is our pattern. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 10, Galatians 6 and verse 10, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we're to do good. And this, what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 12, is a call to do good to others. What Jesus says here in Matthew 7, verse 12, is the application of what He said in verses 7 through verse 11. We know that from the opening, therefore. So what He says in verse 12 is the application of what He said in verses 7 through 11. And what is the teaching of verses 7 through 11? The teaching of verses 7 through 11 is that God deals bountifully with us. The application, verse 12, is since God is generous toward us, since God is good to us, we are to be toward others. So verse 12, again, is an application verse. From this, we see the precept laid down in Matthew 7, verse 12. What does it go back to? It goes back to God. Verses 7 through 11 talks about God being generous to us, God being kind to us. Verse 12 now makes the application, our behavior toward others. And what does our behavior toward others go back to? It goes back to God. It doesn't go back to others. If you take it back to others, you will not fulfill Matthew 7, verse 12. If you take it back to others, then of course you become reactionary to what others do to you. But you're not to take it back to others. Our treatment and our interaction with other people does not go back to them. It goes back to God. Again, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Verse 12 being the application verse. And this is a biblical principle. Start with God. Start with God. Verses 7 through 11 is all about God giving to us. Verse 12 is our behavior, our action toward others. And the biblical principle is simply this. Start with God. We don't usually start there when it comes to treatment of others. We start with their actions toward us or their actions toward someone else. That's a wrong starting point. And if you have a wrong starting point, you're going to more than likely have a wrong finishing point. But we are to start with God. Notice the order. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him, Jesus, a question. The reason he asked him was to test him. Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, and notice where Jesus began. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But where did he start? He started with God. Where does the Ten Commandments start? They started with God. The first four commandments dealt with God. The biblical principle is always start with God. When it comes to human relationships, start with God. Start with God. When it comes to dealing with the actions of other individuals, start with God. When it comes to dealing with the wrong actions of other individuals toward us, start with God. You can't go wrong. Start with God. This is the biblical principle. And this will bring good results. It will keep us right with God. So start with God. The way to function properly with regard to others and also in all things, start with God. Look at how God deals with us. Does God deal with us according to what we deserve? You better hope not. No, He doesn't. So are we to deal with others by what they deserve? He spoke unkind to me, so I have every right to speak unkind to Him. Is that how God treats you? You wouldn't be here if that was the case. None of us would be. God deals with us in grace. And that needs, of course, to be implemented in our treatment of others. He lays that down. Notice in Matthew 5, we've read these verses many times, but verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. You can only do this if you start with God. If you start with the other individual that hates you, this isn't the end result. But you start with God. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Wouldn't we be much better off? Somebody mistreats us. Wouldn't we be better off to pray for them rather than getting on social media and telling someone else how they've mistreated us? Wouldn't we have better results? Wouldn't it be more godlike to pray that you may be the children of your Father? And then he gives the example. God causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, that is, you simply react to what they do to you, what reward have ye? If you do that, if you react simply how they treat you, how are you any different than any lost person? And he asks that question, do not even the publicans the same? I mean, isn't that exactly what the lost man does? Aren't we to live above that? So we see Matthew 7, verse 12, is a remedy against false witness bearing. Matthew 7, verse 12 will put an end to false witness bearing. It puts an end to it. It stops it. All the time. All the time. It's a safeguard. Also, Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife. Now, the verse there doesn't directly condemn strife. That's not the point. The point is, when strife comes, you do nothing through strife. Let nothing be done through strife. What is strife? Strife is conflict. Strife is dispute. It's a feeling of hostility and animosity. And Paul says, let nothing be done through that. That is, in the spirit of conflict, don't act. That's what he's saying. Let nothing be done through strife. In the spirit of hostility and animosity, let nothing be done through strife. Because if it is, Matthew 7 verse 12 has been violated. It will be. That's just the natural result. So we're not to base our actions upon strife. Well, that would kill false witness bearing. A feeling of strife has a tendency to feed false witness bearing. We're told in Proverbs 17 and verse 14 to leave off contention, to leave it off. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is the desire for personal honor, the desire for personal attention, praise, and preeminence. Let nothing be done through the desire for personal honor, personal attention, personal praise, preeminence. Because when you do, more than likely, you're going to be disappointed. And you're going to get angry because so-and-so didn't give you the honor that you thought you deserve. And soon to follow is false witness bearing. So what is the remedy for strife and vainglory? Well, he goes on there in Philippians 2, verse 3, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's a mindset. It is a mindset that, again, will kill false witness bearing. Another safeguard against false witness bearing is to seek heavenly wisdom. We read of that in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So in closing, false witness bearing proceeds from an evil and depraved heart. And it is a form of abuse that is hurtful, not only to the person that you're bearing false witness about, but it can be hurtful to the people that you've born false witness too. It is hurtful, it is damaging, it's devastating. It can result in severed relationships, can result in suffering, can result in feelings of vengeance and retaliation. You just get in that cycle. False witness bearing can have life lasting consequences. And as we said at the very beginning, even if you apologize to the person that you bore false witness against, you cannot possibly cover all the bases. It's not even possible. It's not humanly possible. Because who you told, they told somebody, and on and on and on it goes. So it has life-lasting consequences. It is opposed to the good of mankind. So this ninth commandment, like all the others, is suggestive of the evil of man, but it is also meant for the good of all mankind. This is true of each of God's commandments. Every command of God suggests, implies the evil that is within man. And every command of God is for the good of mankind. Next week we'll begin to look at the 10th commandment. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we thank you, Lord, for this day. We Again, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege to be in your house, to open your word, to study your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us to apply your word to our daily lives. Lord, that you would help us to look to you for the strength and the wisdom to do so. We just pray that you'd be with us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.